Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the series, The Local Church and the Kingdom. This is Lesson 2, The Soil of Our Local Churches, with Dennis Peacock.
Jesus only preached the gospel of the kingdom. He did not preach any other gospel. And our text is Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Everybody say, word of the kingdom. By the way, even this shows you the nature of the power, the deception that we're working against. We have created an evangelical gospel that focuses on being born again. That is a total unauthorized interpretation of the Word of God. Now suck air for a minute and then come with me. John 3:3 does not focus on being born again. John 3:3 is a conditional clause. It says, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God or see it. He can't see it. We've created a whole theology about being born again and made the subordinate clause the object of the clause. The object is not being born again. The object is to see the kingdom. I mean, you think about that for a minute. That one misinterpretation of Scripture has created a whole movement called evangelicalism, of which we are all basically a part, that is a complete misinterpretation of one of the most foundational scriptures in God's Word. And John 3:5 says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in. We've created whole denominations and split over water baptism. We've created whole denominations over the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is the whole thing about Pentecostal charismatic world. And neither water baptism nor spirit baptism is a goal unto itself. It is a means to the end. And the end is the kingdom. It's not talking in tongues, and it's not good water baptism, as essential as they are. They are means to the end, and the end is the kingdom of God. Now, the Pentecostal world, if anybody ought to preach and see the kingdom, it ought to be the Pentecostals. If anybody ought to preach and see the kingdom, it ought to be the Baptists, because they're the ones that gave us the tradition of water baptism. But I must say, with all due respect, the Baptists and the Pentecostals in many ways are farthest from the kingdom of God in terms of understanding of any groups I personally am aware of. And I'm not saying that to be critical or offensive. I'm just trying to tell it like it is. The reason I'm saying that, again, is we need to see the dimension of the principalities and powers that we are up against. And I've been to war before in the spirit, and veterans do not volunteer. If you had any idea the amount of deliberation that has gone into whether or not we would even approach this subject publicly, it'd blow your mind. Because none of us are looking for a fight. The problem is, we have no choice but to fight. If I could go another way, I would go another way. And that's the gospel truth. At my age, and my preacher's itch has been scratched years ago, my need for a responsibility is lower than it's ever been. I want to go off into the hills and just chew on grass or, you know, Ferdinand the Bull. Do something. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. But I have no choice. He said, if you hear it but don't understand it, the evil one takes it away. He says if it goes on the rocky soil, it has no foundation and it can't withstand persecution. If it goes into a life filled with worry and deception, it won't last. It's got to go on good soil. Verse 23, it's got to go on good soil. Now, I want to go back to Galatians 4, and I'm going to skip around in my notes. And by the way, they're my notes, not yours. So I have the prerogative to do with them what I want. Feel a little bit like Bush. When I was little, my mom made me eat asparagus or Brussels sprouts. Broccoli. Well, with me, it's Brussels sprouts. And darn it, I don't have to eat it anymore. Galatians 4 reads like this. Now I say, and this is the end of your notes, by the way, because the end is better than the beginning. We may as well get to it now. Now I say, I could have some fun up here today. Now I say. Or as in the South you say, now I say. You say, why? Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. I could take that verse and put it over every church in the world and think that we wouldn't be too far off. Because if we meditate on that verse and understand that verse, it has in it a clear picture as to not only who we are and who we're becoming, but the very nature of the church itself. The church is the owner of everything in Christ. I read somewhere in my Bible, I love it when the scripture says, it is written somewhere. I've always wondered, why do you say that? You know where it was written. The scripture saith somewhere. Well, I'll be biblical. The scripture saith somewhere, the meek shall inherit the earth. I know the text. It is written somewhere, the meek shall inherit the earth. How will we inherit the earth? If we are tutored to inherit the earth. Though we are owners of everything, we are now living as slaves under tutors. But he is under guardians and managers until the day set by the Father. Oh, I wonder if you can hear that. This time that I have right now is to deal with spiritual climate. And I'm, again, notes trying to figure out how to hit this thing so we have absolute continuity and I don't introduce ideas that would be extraneous to what it is we're trying to do here, because it's so easy to do that. You know, I have a challenge and it's called my life. You know, I did not make myself, which is not absolving myself of responsibility for my sins and immaturities, but I did not make myself and you did not make yourselves. You know, there is an essence and there's some cards that God deals us and we got to play the cards. Work our way through it. I finally have come to peace with the fact that my Father made me a warrior. That doesn't go down too well in the church. I think it goes down pretty well in the kingdom. Because Jesus said it's the violent who come after the kingdom and seize it by force. Violence is rejected in the false religious order, is valued in the kingdom. But part of the message that God has put into me has been through my warrior history. And I apologize for that, but on one level, what can I do? It's part of who I am. Now let me talk about climate in a way, and this may be part of Father's sovereignty and what He has done with me. If I talk about the church, all of us have got ideas that are, you all got preconceived ideas. I curse every oriental demon behind the martial arts. I curse everything that is not of Jesus Christ. And if you know me, I mean, if my life is not a statement of cursing everything that opposes Christ, what can I say to you? But let me tell you, so I teach a self-defense thing. And it's so much life for me to do that. And there's so much teaching in that for me to do that. Now let me tell you my responsibility in that, because it's exactly the same responsibility that I have in the church world, in my family, or anywhere else. I teach what I have been taught. I have not invented what I teach. I teach what somebody taught me and put into me. That's all I can teach. Now anybody who comes to me for learning the art that I have is coming to me because they believe somewhere in them that the art I have is what they want. And if they want somebody else's art, they should go to them. I don't have any hard feelings about that. But if you're with me, you're going to learn what I know. You see, it's only in the church that everybody comes in thinking that what it ought to be in a church is what everybody knows rather than the one who is leading the class. Now, the beauty in the physical world is that you can resolve conflicts very easily and very quickly. I do not have conflicts in my class of theory because I ask the person who thinks they have a better idea, show me. That's one of my great frustrations in the body of Christ, is everybody's got a scripture and everybody's got a theory and everybody's an expert and everybody's an apostle or whatever they are. And we don't have the opportunity of saying, show me what you know. Go ahead, square off, let's see what you got. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We live in a very strange world in the church. So I don't have any problems in my class with people who think they have a better idea. Because if they have a better idea, they can show me and it'll work. And if it doesn't, my authority is continually established by the fact that I know enough more than the people are in my class to demonstrate that I know what I'm doing. It's very hard to do that in the Spirit. Now, anybody who is in my class, I have a goal. And it's the same goal I have in this room or anywhere else I am. My goal is to bring the people in my class to the place where they are trained to achieve what they want to achieve when they came into the class. And by the way, people come into the class for a lot of mixed reasons. Some come in and out of fear. Some come in and out of a need for power. I mean, I get all kinds of attitudes, just like the body of Christ, as to why people would come to a class to learn how to fight. The same kind of variety that we have in the church. Exactly, the mixed motives. Now, it is my responsibility in that class to create an atmosphere where whatever your motives are will be revealed by the pressure that I apply in the class. That's my responsibility as a father, as it were, in that class, to create an environment where everybody's basic need and basic motivation will be revealed. And it's very easy to do it in the natural, because all you have to do is put somebody under a stressful condition that they cannot cope with. Because when you get into stress, it reveals what is inside you, because if you can't cope, what is inside just comes rushing out. And it's my responsibility in that class, in a respectful way, which is why people bow to each other before they do fighting with each other, because if I lose the atmosphere of respect, I've totally destroyed what it is that I'm there to create in the environment, which is a place where you're not in there to learn to fight. You're in there to learn about yourself, and you're in there to learn about truth. Because that's what my agenda is. And we pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues before we start that class. Now, and here we get back to the heart thing, which is why I'm into this thing. Under pressure, everybody exerts their energy to fight. They will fight for their rights. They'll fight for their convictions. They will fight for whatever it is they will fight. And in a combat situation, you can get somebody angry enough, they will fight. But they didn't come in there to fight. They came in there to what? Be trained. You see, the body of Christ is about training. Somehow, again, we're back to what we talked about in the way our Heavenly Father put His DNA in all of us. The DNA that is in all men and women is they know they're called to rule. The unsaved and the saved all commonly have that DNA because we are created in the image and the likeness of God. And because God is a ruler, He has imparted to all of us that we are to rule. Everybody wants to rule. The question is, are you trained to rule? And my responsibility in my family with my children, my responsibility in anything that I touch, is to take whatever measure of training I have. And unfortunately, sometimes in the class, I won't hurt anybody because I don't want to hurt anybody. That's not my goal. And I'm not interested in being a tough guy. Tough guys are guys that aren't tough. The truth of the matter is, the really good guys are the most gentle people you'd ever meet because they're beyond all that stuff. But occasionally, I will have to deal with somebody who thinks they're a tough guy, and then I have to apply enough force to convince them that I know more than they know without hurting them or creating an atmosphere of fear in the class. Because if I create fear, nobody can learn. You cannot learn and be in fear. And now we're into climate and atmosphere. I know what Ann and Barry are going to do and some of what they're in the family thing. We run into, and pastors, you know what I'm saying, and it's in me, it's in all of us. You run into situations where a father is in authority and is creating an atmosphere of fear in the home. And where there's fear in the home, everybody is under the tyranny of performance, and you cannot learn in that kind of a climate. That's why the American school system is falling to shreds, is because the government has come out of the classroom. Now we have an atmosphere of fear, and you can't defend yourself and learn at the same time. It is an oxymoron. It's impossible. You cannot receive and defend at the same time. So it's my responsibility in that class or in a church or in my family or anywhere else is to make sure that the climate that is being established has an element of risk in it, which keeps people realizing that they have to know what they don't know, but there cannot be fear or intimidation. The climate has got to be a place where everybody is free to admit they don't know very much and willing to learn, and yet be willing to be responsible for the negative attitudes that come up. I will have a problem frequently as people begin to get better at a skill, and they'll actually get into fights with each other depending upon how much aggression or ego or pride or fear is in them. And all, everybody in here, you see that in your family and you see it in the church. And it is our responsibility to produce a climate which draws people up to their best level of competition, but never lets it cross the line into where they're actually trying to hurt one another or are insensitive to their brother or sister. That's the kind of a climate we have to produce. Now, I will ultimately be measured, because my self-defense class is exactly the same thing as everything else in my life, which is holism. You see, part of what is wrong with us is we have segmented our lives into doing some things one way and some things another way because we don't see the kingdom of God. Once you see the kingdom of God, you're doing exactly the same thing in everything you're doing in your whole life. Your whole life is motivated by the principles of the kingdom. Whether it's a self-defense class or a leadership class or talking to my kids, I have one major responsibility in the areas where I have responsibility. That is to train the people who are under my guardianship with everything that I have so that I can train them for the rulership that is coming into their life. That is my responsibility. Now, I know what those of us who have been burned, and everybody in some measure has been burned by spiritual authority, and we talk about fatherhood and sonship, some of us start jerking, because we know that unless the climate in which the sovereignty of God is asserted is a climate where those who are in authority in the house are absolutely clear that this is not about their authority, it is about their training and the responsibility of those that are in their house to bring them to the place of rulership, that unless that is the climate, it's tyrannical. I know that. I understand that. Doesn't mean I've always walked in it perfectly. I haven't. But if I'm on my game, which means if I'm before the Lord daily, I hope everybody heard that. If I'm before the Lord daily and in the Word daily and in prayer daily and properly related to my wife and my kids and my brethren, we are going to be scoping each other out when we smell that other city that we talked about where somebody is coming off like what they're really concerned about here is their authority more than the training of the people that God has given them responsibility for. My authority is not my black belt. That means nothing. A belt is to hold up your pants. My authority is in my knowledge. And my legitimacy, whatever legitimacy I have, is in the fact that what I am after is producing people who know rulership skills. Now, the reason that we've got so much of a mess in terms of the misuse and abuse of authority, Because as soon as you talk about sovereignty, see, some of this has got to come back on God's lap. God did not rescind the scripture that he places people in the church because all the authority in the church is good authority. Hello. You see, just because the authority in the body of Christ is a disaster, and it largely is, does not mean that Father rescinded that scripture and that people are now chaotically going wherever they want to go because God sees how bad the authority is and he will not put his hand into baptizing people into bad authority situations. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God does not stop placing us in the church just because there's bad authority there. Anybody that teaches that, that's flat out heresy. That's attacking the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the issue there. You see, the problem is not God's problem, it's our problem. It's our problem to police ourselves, which is Matthew 18 and a whole bunch of other scriptures, which we don't want to do because we're too insecure. The problem is not God's problem, it's our problem that we will not police ourselves and demand from ourselves that those who are in places of being sent by God to build houses demand from themselves that they're clear on Galatians 4 that they have been given and we have been given, just like everybody here who's got kids, you were given your kids not to rule over them, but to train them for their rulership. Now, what exacerbates this, what complicates it, is that because we have been building churches for the church instead of building churches for the kingdom, all our rulership has been trying to stuff people through a very small set of jobs. We have been training people to rule in the house when those who are to be ruling in the church house is the small, minute number of people, and we've got hundreds of people vying for the same jobs. And the only reason that is because those of us in authority in the church, we have not seen the kingdom. The kingdom is equipping people to rule the world. And those of us that lead houses, we're not going to be judged as to how together our church is. See, you're still thinking ecclesiastically in a negative sense. Because it is positive to think ecclesiastically in the right sense. But you're not going to be judged on how together your church is, leaders. You're going to be judged on how many sons and daughters you equipped for the rulership of the world. Because the commission that all of us stand under as parents and as leaders and teachers and whatever else we are is how are we training those who God has sovereignly put into our responsibility. How are we training them to rule? I don't know anybody that's clearer on that than my wife. She's been clearer on that than me many times. Because in leadership, you get involved in ego battles, and you get involved in your own pain, and you get involved in all of that, which, by the way, is designed to divert you from your cause. See, spiritual warfare is not the devil attacking you. Spiritual warfare is doing anything that will divert you from the clarity of what you're called to do. And the clarity of what we are called to do is to produce a climate, to have an atmosphere where those that we are leading can learn without fear, without intimidation, without ridicule, without being made to feel, as one brother aptly put, little, so that when you're under authority, you somehow feel emasculated or you somehow feel like you're helpless. Anything that makes you feel like that is not God. Now, that does not mean that you may not have to go to the woodshed or drop and do 100 push-ups or do a certain exercise 50 times over as a discipline. That's a whole different element, and that's the difference between training to do something you may not want to do and psychologically being manipulated to feel worthless. And sometimes we can't tell the difference. And depending upon how much rebellion is in us, we will often become rebellious over the push-ups that God tells us to do or our leader tells us to do, saying, you have no right to tell me to do that. And the whole question is, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because they have an ego problem, which on one level you can't do much about except pray really hard or confront them? Or are you doing it because it's a part of your training? But see, we haven't been raised in a climate like that because we don't understand that the church, ecclesia, literally means those called out to rule. We're not building churches to produce rulers. And I say this to my hurt, my pain. Shame on me. Shame on us. When we're in the city of man, we're building churches for our own name. We're building churches to be a religious success. That thing gets on us so quick, it blows my mind. I got to get washed from it every day. And I've got to get washed from it during the day. Because it is my fallen nature to do things or want to be something for myself. That's the normal condition of the garden is weeds, not flowers. What is the climate that you have in your home? What is the climate you have in your business? What is the climate we have in our churches? Now, the reaction against the abuse of the sovereignty of God is to drop all the way back into another paradigm which says, I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I am done with training. From now on, everybody is going to get their training from the Holy Spirit. It's an abuse of authority for me to do that, which is another way of saying I'm tired of it and I don't want the hassle. And I'm unwilling to stay under the training and discipline of God to beat the hell out of me, and I use the word advisedly, to beat that which is hellish out of me, because to be in a place of authority is to be continually under the dealings of the Holy Spirit to get you to the place where your motives are godly. And if you get weary of it, and especially because the church doesn't want that done anyway, it's easy to drop out and then construct another theology that says, we're not going to do that anymore. It's every man for himself. You go to God. And in this self-defense class, we'll have every art taught. And it's all wonderful and I'll bless it all. Are you in your right mind? There's absolutely no way that I could impart what I am and what I have in that kind of an environment. And neither can you in the environment that God has given you. Hey, why don't you bring the neighbors into your own family living room and say, hey, I'm done trying to raise you kids according to what God's put into me. Let's have a neighborhood council. Let's get everybody's input and we'll form a collective family. And you're going to get your values now from whatever is in the neighbors and whatever is in your heart. See, I have a problem with that. The neighbors didn't birth them. I watched all those kids. I know where they came from. They came from Jan and I. And I cannot pass off the responsibility of those kids to the neighborhood, no matter how painful it is for me to have to deal with my own contradictions and the limitations of my own sin. I can't pass that responsibility off in the name of freedom or because the religious community is on my case or on anybody's case who really believes the sovereignty of God. It blows my mind, especially amongst the Reformed churches that believe in Reformed theology. I don't see any climate in most of the Reformed churches that they're building according to the sovereignty of God relationally at all. Their Reformed theology is all intellectual. It's all conceptual. It has no relational base. And I'm probably overstating the case, but I've seen very little. You see, when you touch the sovereignty of God, you touch the kingdom. By what authority doest thou these things? Where has God placed you? What are your genes? None of these things matter if you're trapped in the evangelical, ecclesiastical world. None of these things matter. I know the things that I'm saying are going to be summarily dismissed. And have a lot of Bible verses as to why. Because we're challenging a system that is not producing rulers. We are living in a nation because the body of Christ has abdicated its responsibility to produce rulers. And our families have abdicated their responsibility to produce rulers. The wicked are now ruling over us. And it's going to get worse and worse. And I want to tell you something. Anybody that thinks God is going to intervene does not understand God or His ways. Because it's not God's problem. Whose problem is it? It's our problem. Why would He intervene? It's not His problem, it's our problem. Because we don't want to take the responsibility that He's already given us to train people. We push it off to the future age. I don't know how we think that's going to happen. Do we think Jesus is personally going to train several billion of us, however many there are in the church? He is personally going to train Himself so there's no possibility of abuse and there's no possibility of imperfection. You're going to get it straight from Jesus. And then after Jesus has personally trained everybody, which means none of us need anybody and there's no real joining amongst us, we're all joined to Him in a way that when we need orders, we go directly to Him, which totally contradicts the model He gave Moses and the model that Jesus gave the 12. Totally contradicts His own teaching. We've got this unwritten theology that is how we're all going to get trained, is in the age to come. And now the nature of this thing is to get a big cattle drive going headed towards heaven. Let's head them up and round them up. And they're going to knock down fences in every direction. They're going to graze in poison water. That is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to drive them towards heaven. My Bible says that the principle of God in fatherhood and sovereignty is to produce parents and men and women in the body of Christ who understand whatever you know and whatever you have been given has been given to you not to make you some little czar, but to give you the motivation to take it and put it in somebody else who is going to not only take what you have, but be better at it than you are. Say, what a bummer. When you were 24, you were smoking dope to Sergeant Pepper's. Now look at what happened, man. Your son has exceeded you. What a bummer. Oh, do I feel bad. Man, he's better than I am. There goes my authority. Oh, man. Do I feel bad? I mean, because this is all about me feeling good and being the head honcho. What a bummer that my son has exceeded me. Oh, man. Duh. See, anything that even smells like that, any thoughts, any emotions that even carry with them any part of an idea like that need to be cursed to hell and damned in the name of Jesus Christ. The moment they go through our head, the moment they touch us, those things are the city of man, which wants to build a name for itself. And don't look at your neighbor and say, that's on you. Point your finger and say, that's on you. It's on me. It is on me. Is everybody clear on that? It is on me. The question is, what am I going to do about it? And how am I going to put myself in an environment that is going to be a constantly cleansing environment to get that out of me, so that my goal is to produce students that will rule so much more than I've ever touched. I want to close. Until we get fathers and sons and grandchildren, we're never going to have that kind of training. Anybody here that's a grandma or grandpa, there is something that the third generation puts in the kids that the parents can't put in. Those of you that are grandparents, you can feel it oozing out of you when they sit on your lap. We don't have that in the body of Christ because our kids have to establish their own vision. Our kids have to go their own way. The leaders of our churches have to go their own way. We don't have any continuity across the generations because we're building the city of man. That's got to stop. It has to stop in me. I'm preaching to me. This is not me preaching to you. This is me preaching to me and us. The kingdom of God is God's antidote for the city of man. Because when you see the kingdom of God, You can't produce rulers fast enough for everything that needs to be done. The question no longer becomes your little fiefdom and your control. The question becomes, how do I train these people quick enough with enough strength that when I send them out to fight, they're ready? My class enters tournaments, and the people that they fight don't have my ethics. The people that they fight actually want to hurt them. My responsibility is to make sure that they don't get in a fight that they are not able to deal with, either in getting hurt or in losing their temper. Because if they get hurt, they lose. And if they lose their temper, they lose. Because our whole training is about doing what you're doing without trying to hurt anybody or lose your temper. I wouldn't care if you won the fight. If you lost your temper, you've lost the family genes that are in me. Which gets us back to success. If success is the criteria, then the Tower of Babel is the greatest thing that man has ever done. Mankind has never, ever, since the Tower of Babel, done anything with such unity. People say we're unified. Friend, I know cults that are unified. So what? People say we're succeeding at what we're doing. The Tower of Babel succeeded. So what? The criteria is, was I sent? By whose authority am I doing this? Is this being done God's way, God's time? Everybody knows that we're called to rule. Everybody wants to produce rulers in some way. The question is, what is the way? Jesus said, I am the way. And the way I did it is the way I want you to do it. And don't fall into pragmatism that you can do it at least in the short run and it looks like it's working and it's not the way Jesus did it through the training. The whole scripture is dealing with the question of why do the wicked prosper? You say, oh man, the blessing of God is on me. My friend, I want to ask you, why do the wicked prosper? How do you know it's the blessing of God? Because the wicked prosper in the short run. You see, once you get away from that kind of pragmatism, the issue is no longer, am I prospering and is there unity in our group? The issue is, by what authority doest thou these things? And Americans are especially susceptible to size and prosperity and all this other stuff. We think that's the measure of unity. Friend, the world system has got that stuff. The Tower of Babel, Cain in his city, they had all those marks. In fact, they had them so much, God had to interrupt it. By what authority doest thou these things? Are you doing it in the sovereignty of God's placement? And are you doing it with a spirit and a climate of training people and being trained to produce rulers that the whole earth would be filled with the knowledge of God and that the whole earth would be filled with a kingdom of trained men and women? I'll close with this. My greatest joy is to take my most advanced students and be able to fight with them. And I draw them out. I do everything I can. I don't want them afraid of me. If they're afraid of me, I can't teach them. I will push them until they really want to fight me. I say, yes, yes, yes. Because I don't need to be better than you. I need to find that thing in you and then train it more. Because someday you're not going to be fighting me. You're going to be fighting people that want to hurt you. You're going to be fighting people that aren't going to fight fair. You're going to fight people that have a whole other set of rules. And I want to give you everything I've got so that you can walk through them with a smile and bless them in the name of Jesus. May God give us a climate, an internal climate, that says, oh, Father, give me the cross, give me the kingdom, so that my life is being laid down for my students. My life is being laid down for my kids. My life is being laid down for those that you sovereignly connected with me. Oh God, have mercy on me, that I at the end of this thing could pray like Jesus, Father, all thine are mine and mine are thine. And I have guarded them. I've trained them. I've given them everything I've got. I know in my case I'm imperfect, but God, I trained them with what I had. Now send them out into the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Send them into every tournament. Send them into every corporation. Send them into every political race. Send them every tournament that exists in this great field of combat, in this war between two seeds. And may the training that you've given them through me allow them to prevail. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.